This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
We're the 29th pick. The New England Patriots like.
Now here to
preview the prospect
are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
That would be Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, and Eric Scalavino here. Just days away, guys, now from the 2013 NFL Draft, and we're getting closer to the positions that are top of mind, I would think, in the Patriots' front office and the war room come Thursday night. Today we're going to talk defensive line, ends, and tackles. And if you believe what a lot of the mock drafts have been showing for the last few weeks and months, this is going to be a very popular position in the first round. So I don't know what kind of players are going to be available when the Patriots pick comes up at around 29, but it sounds like there's plenty to choose from in this year's crop, thankfully. Pretty strong on both sides, end tackle. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I think it's a very good group. And from a Patriots perspective, on one hand, that means you might be able to get some of the kind of bottom of that group. But the other hand is if there's a run on all those guys, mm-hmm. do you start to consider taking the value at another group after, you know, 8, 10, 12 defensive linemen already go off the board? Because you look at it, I mean, I'm looking at my tackle notes right now. There are five guys that you say, that's a good first-round pick at tackle. And then you mix in the ends, and are we saying more than half the first round is going to be defensive linemen?
Sounds like it.
And then you mix in the 5 to 7 offensive linemen who could go in the first round. Are we now saying that somewhere in the range of 2/3 of the first round is going to be offensive or defensive linemen? Now, obviously, on some level, that's a commentary on the running back position, the quarterback position in this draft, because generally you'd get your 2 running backs and 3 to 5 quarterbacks. Maybe this year, you know, that's all going towards the lines. But I also think it's because it's a pretty damn impressive group. You know, again, looking at the tackles, I thought there was a chance way back when, before the heart problems, that Star Lotulile, I think that's how you say it, Lotulile, was a potential number one overall type pick. His stock obviously fell with the heart issues. That's sort of been cleared. Boom, he's rising back up on the boards. I think he is a can't-miss legitimate first-round pick.
He's going to be a star?
He is going to be a star. One way or the other, he's going to be a star in whatever he chooses to do. I think Sheldon Richardson out of Missouri is a phenomenally underrated, underpublicized, under something, because I just watched him. I thought he was tremendously talented, and I don't think he gets the play of, say, a guy, Sharif Floyd out of Florida, who I do think is also very good. I think he's a very good player, but to me, the Richardson-Floyd, very similar, talent-wise, value-wise, and I don't think Richardson gets that kind of play. Then you talk about, you know, big mean men like Jesse Williams out of Alabama. I'm very much intrigued by his power. People say, you know, he played through that knee injury. Is that knee injury going to hurt? Well, I like the fact that he played through the knee injury for the most dominant team in the country, and, you know, I'll take my chances that I can get that healed. Same thing with John Jenkins out of Georgia. To me, those are just big behemoths that could dominate the inside of a line, whereas those other guys are more athletic. They're more in that Warren Sapp penetrating, playmaking mold. I just think I think there are going to be multiple all pros in this group right here. Those five, say, defensive tackles, to me, you're looking at, you know, everybody likes to say, for the next 10 years, pencil that guy into the Pro Bowl. Usually doesn't work out that way because one will get hurt, one will be a bust. But I just think they're phenomenally talented.
And I think that the thing that sticks out to me is the size and athleticism combination of so many different guys.
Well, it's borderline ridiculous.
And you start, of course, you know, Andy and Paul have to get all cynical.
I'm sorry, you get all
these
guys.
There's a lot of 350-pound guys that can run.
Right. it's getting a little ridiculous. Yes, I'm sorry. 300-pounders shouldn't be running 4.8s. Brandon Spice would dream to run a 4.8. Yeah.
You see, you know, and I know that when you watch tape on these guys and you go on YouTube and you see some highlight videos, obviously you're seeing a lot of the best that these guys do. But to see guys like John Jenkins, your star, you know, your born star. They're making plays from sideline to sideline. They're running down plays from the backside. That's not supposed to happen when you're 340, 350 pounds. Yeah. These guys do.
Maybe that's
more
a commentary on the crappy quarterbacks and running backs.
Well, you know, who knows? But, you know, the athleticism.
All the athletes are on defense now.
The athleticism in the college game is certainly visible. Let's put it that way. Now, whether or not they're football players, we'll find out. But
right.
I agree with Andy. I think there's a lot of upside with a lot of these different guys.
So tackle position especially. And then if you look on the ends, looks like there are a lot of guys who are sort of basketball-type bodies, tall, a little bit thinner than you might want for the position, but very athletic, guys who either have the frame to fill out at the NFL level or, in some cases, may have already peaked at their body frame. You have a guy like Margus Hunt, who is ridiculously tall, and who knows if he can gain any more bulk on that frame, but it's kind of an intriguing prospect because he hasn't played much football, but he's very talented. If there's that run on tackles on the interior guys, do you think there's enough talent on the end spot that New England might take a chance at somebody down in the 29 area?
I do. Now, I don't want to give away. I'm going to shoot a mock draft for Patriots today. You'll have to wait to see exactly who I take. I do think defensive end is a position they will consider there. This position on the whole, I think, has intriguing upside and a lot of downside. I think there's going to be a lot of busts out of this.
There's a couple of boomer bust guys. I know Andy is.
I think basically the entire class. I could say Werner, Moore, Jordan, Jones, Ansa, Hunt. I think literally you're talking about.
And those are the top names at the position.
No, and that's why I think I think the tackle position's underrated. I think you're going to see more stars and starters and Pro Bowlers out of that than maybe people think. And I think a lot of these defensive ends, outside linebackers, these pass rushers, I think there's going to be a lot of. You may get a Jason Pierre-Paul. You may get that one guy who takes the next step and turns his, you know, Deion Jordan's 14 career college sacks into 14 in a season in the NFL. I also think you're going to see a lot of busts. There's just not a lot of guys that I would say, yep, he's going to be good. You know, a lot of them just really concern me. If anybody, the guy I think who might have the best chance is Barcavius Mingo out of LSU. I think he's a good proven football player. Love I think him. He's a very good player. But, you know, Deion Jordan, yeah, he's a great athlete. He has a lot to intrigue you. Can he play? Can he flat out be a dominant NFL player? I don't know this.
And we'll find out.
I don't know this. Yeah. You know, Jones, who is a guy I think is very intriguing for the Patriots as a left defensive end type opposite Chandler Jones. I'm talking about Dayton Jones out of UCLA. Looks the part. Looks like he could do everything you could ever ask him to do. Stop the run, rush the passer, big, strong, athletic, you know, move inside on subdowns, anything you want him to do. But he's never really done any of it at a consistent level. And that's scary.
Yeah.
Whereas I think all these tackles have already shown you how they can dominate games and how they can make people around them better. So, you know, Hunt is the perfect example. You watch his highlight tape and you go, wow, he's the Rob Gronkowski of defensive ends. There are not too many people on the planet who are whatever he is, 6'8", 280 pounds. I mean, look
runs
at that.
All over the place.
4'5", 40
Yeah.
For a guy that tall, that long, is just, it's almost unbelievable. It's almost like, did they screw up the timing? But you watch these plays, and he's got a high motor, but he doesn't play the run, and the consistency is an issue. And are you just going to say, well, maybe this guy just ends up being kind of a situational kick blocker, the Eastern block? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
And
you take a guy like that in the first round.
Well, that's my point. If you take him in the first round, he needs to be your starting defensive end who develops into a pretty good player.
And there were a lot, again, at this position, there's – you know, the guys that Andy's talking about, specifically I think of Ansa, Werner, and Hunt as your I think that they epitomize the boomer bust. I mean, they have incredible athleticism and skill sets for that position, but not sure that they have, you know, actually all three of them, the experience probably isn't overwhelming, and you don't know how they're going to adapt. You know, they're very athletic right now playing in college. Can that athletic edge be similar in the pros? Probably not. So it's going to be interesting to see how they fare once they're not just able to run by guys on a consistent basis. The guys that I'm a little bit more intrigued by, and Andy brought up Jones, the kid from Texas A&M I like too.
DeAndre Moore.
And Andy doesn't like him as much as I do.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I think those guys are a little bit more of a mix of, you know, size and athleticism, not just sort of the leaner build, but they have a little bit more bulk there. I thought they played the run a little bit better, but there's question marks with those guys too, because
you know I hate him because he had 12 reps.
Well, they're inconsistent. Right. They're inconsistent too.
You can't do more than Paul could do if he worked out for a couple of weeks, and you're not going to dominate the edge of the line of scrimmage.
Again, I don't understand why I have to come into this, but be
that
as
the weakest person I knew.
Just the lack of consistency. You don't see, and Andy brought up Deion Jordan, you know, 14 career sacks. That's not great production at the college level, and you wonder, can these guys put it together? Can they be consistent? Can they do it 1 year and then follow up on that and improve? Can they do it once the overall talent level of the opponent improve. So I do think there's a lot of different players in this draft up front that can play. But there's going to be a fair amount of guys that we're going to say 5 years from now, oh, yeah, remember that guy? He's not even in the league anymore. Mm. And Mingo, the guy that Andy really likes, I love him too. I just think he's an outside linebacker.
Whatever.
At 240 pounds, you know, he's more of a he's not going to be able to play full time.
Probably not.
On the edge, I don't think. He's going to be more of a kind of what we thought of with the way Belichick used to run things with that, you know.
But, you know, he could turn into a Rob Ninkovich type. Rob's not the biggest guy in the world.
He's going to have to get a lot bigger to do that.
You know.
But he's more athletic than Rob, too.
But sure. They all got to get bigger. I mean, what's Jordan?
Jordan's the same as Mingo. He's an outside linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, he's 248.
Yeah. He's the same as Mingo, no question.
You got these guys, and in this day and age, who knows how they're going to use them.
I think they'll get a shot because it is changing. And, you know, it's funny. We listened to Nick Caserio talk in his pre-draft press conference on Monday morning, and a lot of talk about the spread offenses and the influence of that on defenses. And then it was sort of flipped around. There was a question from our buddy Burt Breer from the NFL Network talking about, well, what about the impact of defending those spread offenses? Is that, and I think it has increased. Listen, to deal with the Russell Wilsons and the Colin Kaepernicks of the world and the RG3s, you need to be faster. I think you need, we'll talk about linebackers. You need inside linebackers that can run a little bit more. I think gone are the days of those, you know, sort of prototypical 260-pound middle linebackers that are just in there to stop the off-tackle run. You can't play like that anymore.
All right. Well, the Patriots have made, before we wrap this up, want to get a prediction from you guys numbers-wise. The Patriots signed Tommy Kelly recently, interior defensive line guy. They've yet to sign the rumored defensive end free agent. There are a couple of names out there still that are unsigned.
John Abraham.
I thought he signed. I thought somebody reported that.
What's your girl's name?
Erica Lee.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So,
see how I had to drag it out of him?
At this point, if you had to guess, percentage-wise, the chances that a defensive end slash tackle is taken by the Patriots in the first round. I'll start with you, Paul.
I'm going to go solid 75%. I think that's an area that I'm leaning toward.
69%.
Wonder why you chose that number.
But I also think it's very
69.69%.
Varies based, as I said, how it unfolds before them. You know, I don't know that they're going to jump and take the, you know, ninth best defensive end. They'll say, you know what? You just left me a very good cornerback. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take this corner. You just
or
left
a wide
me
receiver.
Very good wide receiver. You just left me whatever it is where they feel like they find too much value to pass up. And I think there is a chance of that.
Versatile offensive lineman who can play all five spots on the line.
Barrett Jones.
Possibly.
But no, I think it'll, this draft more than any other, and I think Nick touched on this a little bit, is, you know, okay, you're picking one and two. You know who you got a chance at.
All right.
After that, you got to take the best player available because who knows who's taking what, where, how, when, why.
All right. Well, we've got at least one more of these podcasts left in us, so we'll join you soon. And we're very close to finding out which of these prospects is going to be shuffling up to Boston.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.